Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have a story from Sue Lamoro, Flash in the Ring. I saw Brandy in his stall and knew something was wrong. He had lost about 10 pounds and his big brown eyes looked dull with pain. Even his beautiful chestnut mane was shabby. The girl working in the stable that morning told me Brandy had an infection and wasn't eating. "Hang in there, boy," I said, patting his neck softly. I slowly walked down to the end of the stalls to see which horse I'd be assigned to for class instead of my pal. Tilly was a dark bay mare, smaller than Brandy. My first thought was that she'd be easier to mount, maybe slower, but sleek. But I saw a hint of her wild spirit as she was saddled. She kept tossing her head from side to side and pounded the hay on the floor of her stall. I tried to reassure myself that she was just reluctant to work, and that once we started riding, she'd be fine. But there was a stubborn resistance in her walk, and I had to face the fact that this was no quiet filly. I led her to the long line of horses in the center of the ring, and I said a few uneasy hellos to my classmates. I suddenly began wishing I was leaving with the rest of the departing 10 o'clock class. "Oh, come on, Sue," I chided myself. "Hey, girl, nice to meet you," I said, trying to calm her down. I slowly and deliberately tightened her girth and gathered her reins on the left to mount. I got an angry stare and a sudden chill right to the marrow as I saw her ears lay back flat. She was angry. I was embarrassed that I needed Karen, my instructor, to hold Tilly's reins as I mounted, but that was the least of my problems. I couldn't even keep her in line with the other horses. Tilly moved to snap at my friend Lisa's horse, cranky and ready to pick a fight. Lisa knew I was struggling. "She's nothing like Brandy, eh?" Lisa commented. I just nodded, not wanting to give up more than that. I was told to fall in near the back, which was strange to me because Brandy and I used to lead. Ego, I suppose. We began walking. So far, so good. And I started to regain some confidence. Tilly's not so bad. Karen told us to get in position to trot. I leaned forward in the saddle and gave Tilly a slight but firm tap with my boot heel. She broke into a trot abruptly, but I was ready, and after a beat or two, I started posting. Her pace was faster and choppier than Brandy's, but I adjusted in no time. Not bad, I thought. Bang! She broke loose into a full gallop in 2 seconds. I flew by the rest of the horses, passing like a speeding Ferrari in the fast lane. What the hell? I heard and saw a million things at once. Too much. The large rectangular windows flew by me, horses and riders all of a blur, and Karen's loud but calm voice echoed through the ring. "Lean back in the saddle. Bring your arms down to your sides," she commanded. "Pull down on the reins, elbows down to your sides." "I can't, I can't!" As Tilly galloped around the ring, my fingers stung from the force of my death grip on the reins. Her hooves pounded the dirt in harrowingly precise rhythm, an equine metronome. Eerie silence from the other horses and riders. Their outlines flew by, blurry frozen stillness. "They're getting quite a show, aren't they?" "Sue, get your arms down, lean back in the saddle," repeated commands from Karen, to no avail. My life, up to then, flashed in my mind. Is this it? Am I done now? I saw my third birthday. my dark blonde hair in my eyes, and I wanted to go back to sleep, but Mom says I have to open my presents before the kids went to school. "Isn't that dolly cute?" Mom asked. "Look, Sue, it's a Captain Kangaroo record. You love that show." A camera flashed, and I stared down at the doll, loving her but too dazed to say so. Jimmy, Joyce, and Tommy waited for me to squeal with delight, but I let them down. "Wait, I adored my dolly and the record. Come back, you guys, I'm sorry." I then saw the crowds of disinterested shoppers at the Willowbrook Mall passing me by as I stood tearfully next to the security guard. I am lost and no one knows me. Will someone have to adopt me, just like Oliver Twist in the workhouse? Where are you, Mom? Then I came down the stairs on my 10th birthday to an empty living room and no happy birthdays. My sister Joyce scowled. "Lynn's in the hospital. She couldn't breathe last night. Mom and Dad took her." I felt so sorry for myself as I opened my presents alone. I cried as I walked that morning to school. Oh, God, I was so selfish. I know, but I was 10. Next, I am in the 7th grade and almost got into a fight with one of the tough girls, Kathy Pansini. I gave her the finger, but she deserved it. My first flash of Sicilian indignation. She stared me down and I stared right back, but no punches were thrown. But I shook with fear, though, when I saw her at a distance, for weeks, hiding behind the brick corner walls of the school. Thank God it happened right before summer vacation. Now I was 15 on my first date with a dark-eyed mistake named Neil. I fidgeted nervously across from him in the booth at the diner. His mom was a waitress, frizzy-haired and snapped her gum and called me dear as she looked me over. She talked like real Jersey, not like how my teacher parents wanted us to talk. Neil's black jacket and mag wheels were crazy cool, just like Sandy and Danny in Grease. No, not really. My first in love with love awakening. He turned away from me by the summer, a lucky escape. Jump ahead to my junior year, history class. Teacher was late, and I sat on the windowsill, apart from the rest of the class that talked about parties and gossip, while I closed my eyes and felt the sun. I don't like your cliques. I opened my eyes to see my sandy, long-haired secret crush, Dave, known as Revo to his friends, sit down only a few feet from me. I felt his dusty blue outlaw eyes gaze on me, and my cheeks burned. My shyness weighed down my eyelids like armor, too damn scared to gaze back. I fought it and looked up just once and felt a delicious electric spark. Then I was in college, trying to tell Charlie I couldn't see him anymore. We stood outside Edelman's Bakery in Garfield, with a streetlight shining down on the teenage tragedy. "But Sue, I was thinking of marriage," Charlie pleaded as his voice squeaked. I didn't love him, should have told him that instant. Instead, it took hours of migraine phone calls before he gave up. He finally returned my records and cassettes, scratched and tapes pulled out. Take that! Finally, I was in Mystic Seaport the previous summer, walking around with this older guy, Kevin, who seemed perfect for me. We sat at a picnic table, finishing our ice cream cones, and he looked at me, a slow smile on his face. He's a helicopter pilot, and he likes me. I blushed. Okay, listen to Karen. Get your arms down, elbows to your sides. Tilly was galloping at light speed, and I just couldn't get my body low enough in the saddle to pull back hard on the reins. I just can't do it. Got to try. We turned a corner, and with every last ounce of strength, I pulled back because I knew it was my last chance. Tilly slowed ever so slightly, a moment's hesitation, but galloped on. We headed for the top corner turn, and I knew this was it. She headed straight for the wall. It's too soon. Not my time. Not yet. I screamed a desperate no and hurtled into the wall, throwing my left arm up to shield my face. Crash and burn. I landed with a thud on the ground, dust cloud shrouding me. I'm still here. I lift my head up, which felt like an adult bowling ball on the shoulders of a child. Inhale. My lungs only squeaked and nothing came in. No air, just dirt. My eyes struggled to focus through my tangled hair, and I tasted blood on my lips, dirty scrapes starting to sting my hands. Tried to lean on my elbows, but my left arm collapses like my clumsily built card houses. Okay, I'll lean on my right, I think stubbornly. I looked up and see Tilly, about 20 feet away, calmly gazing at me, not a care in the world. My green eyes flash with anger. How dare she? I hear the briskly solid boots of Karen stride up to me, guiding me on my shaky feet. She shook her head of brown corkscrew curls side to side with a strange smile. Now you're a veteran, she said, with a pat on my back. If you enjoyed Sue's story, please catch more of her stories at scriggler.com. And here are the Does This Happen to You moments in the news this week. According to the BBC News, churches in Germany are setting up God hotspots. Now you can attend church, pray, and browse the web, all in one safe and secure place. Churches are guaranteeing security and only a little plug for the faith. No word on whether your text to God will be answered. In related news, graveside Wi-Fi is now available in the most visited cemeteries around Moscow. You can visit your deceased Natasha and browse for flowers for her. You can search the web for memories of dearly departed Uncle Boris and be totally surprised by the warrant for his arrest issued 20 years ago. I once wrote a story about your skeletal bits on display. According to News of the Weird, your inner bits will soon be on display. Researchers at the University of Illinois passed high-speed digital data through slabs of meat, streaming the movie Ravenous with HD quality. Soon you will swallow a transmitter, allowing doctors to drive through your inner bits. I can hear the Office of the Future conversation. Hey, Jerry, can you keep the beeping down? Oh, sorry, Ben. It's my 12 p.m. checkup. It'll only be a minute or two. I'm scheduled for the new Fast and Furious transmitter. It only beeps for 30 seconds. Daily Mail reports global warming blame for record number of shark attacks. Global warming gets the blame for so many things. The logic is hotter temps lead to more people in the water, which leads to more bodies for sharks to attack. The sharks did weigh in on this, calling the logic ridiculous. They requested people not swim in their end of the pool and, if nothing else, wear a human yuck sticker on their arms and legs. People taste bad, and that taste just keeps coming up for days. Radio Free Europe reports sausage-wielding extremists attack a vegan cafe. Meat lovers entered the cafe wearing knackwurst necklaces and armed with ribeye steaks. The meat lovers then started a small barbecue with cigarettes. The cafe is a non-smoking area, and when reminded to extinguish their barbecue, a brawl ensued. Vegetables and sausage bits flew into the street along with meat lovers and cafe patrons. By the time police arrived, all the brawlers had fled. Police reported they had a really nice meal on the leftovers. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at ChrisKKArya, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K, and it's Does This Happen to You? I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or a writer with a story which fits the Does This Happen to You theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. You can hire me to narrate and produce your book into an audiobook ready for upload to Audible, too. Want to hear more stories more often? please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page. And now you can find me on Stitcher, too.